beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Say unto God, how terrible thou art in thy works, through the greatness of the power of thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. Amen. Grant unto all them that are admitted into fellowship fellowship of Christ's religion, that they may avoid those things that are contrary to their profession and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Son, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Endure grief,
suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take the punishment, or you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptance, or this is acceptable to God. So far.
Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Ghost Lord.
And yet, not three lords, but one Lord.
For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God on the Lord,
so are we forbidden by the Catholic faith to say there be three gods or three lords.
The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten.
The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten.
The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal together, and co-equal, so that in all things, as is aforesaid, the unity and the Trinity, and the Trinity and the unity, is to be worshipped.
He therefore that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity.
Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man.
God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world.
Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting.
Equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood.
Who, although he is God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ.
One, not by conversion of the Godhead into the flesh, but by taking the manhood into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead.
He ascended into heaven. He sits on the right hand of the Father, God Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
At whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies, and shall give an account of their own works.
And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire.
This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully and firmly, he cannot be saved.
Okay, we'll continue with our sermon in 422, please.
Thank you.
God, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My sermon theme this morning is the divine plan of God. And it's based upon our gospel, and I would like to read a couple of verses from that gospel. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. So far, please be seated. The experience of Christ's disciples from Good Friday to Pentecost is a close reflection of the life of a Christian in today's society. At first, they were sad Jesus had died, and with his death, their hopes and their dreams were also buried. The disciples wept while the forces of evil rejoiced. But on Easter morning, their sorrow was turned into joy, and this joy was increased with every appearance that Jesus made. Because Jesus fulfilled his promises, their sorrow had now become joy. The death of Jesus, the events that had stricken terror into the hearts of the disciples, was now their comfort and their glory. Well, we too are often confronted with grief in our life. Sometimes the balance between joy and sorrow seems to be one-sided, leaning toward the side of sorrow. This morning, we briefly look at God's divine plan for the life of the believer. From sorrow to joy, this principle confronts each of us in our spiritual life. As St. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, for the godly sorrow works repentance to salvation. Before sinners can be regenerated, they must realize and deplore their sinfulness. It is at this point that God's holy law brings awareness to the seriousness of sin that leads to eternal damnation. But it is here that Jesus continues with his promise, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Coming through the Holy Gospel, Jesus enters the night of despair and sorrow with the gift of forgiveness of sins and many more precious promises that he has made to each and every one of us. Jesus Christ invites us. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ shows himself as our Savior from sin, the author of our salvation. The moment the sinner is brought to faith by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, convinced that Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior from sin, death, and damnation, the moment that he or she believes and trusts in Christ, sorrow is turned into joy. For we know then that we are free from guilt and damnation, the consequences of sin. But we must also remember that when we are brought to faith in Christ, we do not become immune to the trials and the temptations of life. Temptation will indeed become greater after coming to faith. Quoting Martin Luther, for as soon as there is faith, there arises 100 evil thoughts, 100 more temptations than before. And as a result, we Christians sin daily. And sometimes our sins are great. But as Christians, we repent daily, knowing that Jesus Christ was crucified and resurrected for us, providing and guaranteeing that we are forgiven of all of our guilt and every single sin through faith in Christ. As Christians, we shall experience spiritual affliction. We will have trials of our faith. There will be doubts. But as we sometimes sing in one of our hymns, in every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within my veil. Why? Because on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Yes, between Good Friday and Easter, when the disciples did not see Jesus, the foundation of their faith was shaken. They were standing on sinking sand. They were terrified. Things appeared to be hopeless. Well, every Christian has times when the face of Christ is eclipsed by doubts and fears. When eternal truths are challenged, are questioned, when the Holy Gospel appears to be ineffective. It is then that Satan will attack from every angle, trying to drive our faith into the brink of despair and destruction. It is then that we must cling to the Word of God and to the Holy Sacraments. Be fervent in our prayers, and God will give strength. As Martin Luther says, all trials of the soul have this purpose. Although they seem to tear us away from Christ, they unite us more intimately with Him. Also, as Christians, we are not removed from physical afflictions. We may have to endure poverty, loss, sickness, persecution. There will be times when our Lord will lead us through the dark valleys, and these times are never easy. They're never pleasant. But these are not the times to become angry and disappointed with God. But run to, cling to His promises, return to His Word and to His Holy Sacrament. In Luther's small catechism, this question is asked. May believers whose faith is weak approach the Lord's table? The answer, believers whose faith is weak should indeed come to the Lord's table, that their faith may grow stronger. And this is the mark of a mature Christian. This is the evidence of confidence in the will of God. And this is what St. Paul meant when he wrote, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works patience and perseverance. And finally, the day will come for each of us that death will strike. But we need not be fearful. For us the agonies of death shall be turned to the joy of heaven. For in the twinkling of an eye we shall see Him as He is, face to face with Christ. All days of mourning shall be ended. Our salvation, our Savior promises, your sorrow shall be turned into joy, will be finally fulfilled. What we have seen in a very brief order is a divine plan for the life of the believer. Although there is much joy in life, sorrow is indeed an element of the Christian life. May we never despise the will of God, nor become impatient in our affliction, but realize this present truth. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. May God, through word and sacrament, give us this divine comfort. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Take me up with our Lord God.
Let's take a moment to do so. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who calls unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto the soul, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love of heaven, the peace that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitent and unbelief, that no one will partake of this holy sacrament or damnation. Take off from us this bodily garment of our sinful flesh and of our own self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna, and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Is at your body, in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all of your sins.
Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Savior Jesus Christ, shed sins. Take a drink. That's the citrine blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of your sins.
Now may this body, blood, strength, and preserve you, keep you, and the ones you faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Thank you.
your blood. In the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of your sins. Take a drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of your sins.
Now may his body and blood strengthen, preserve, and keep you with the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart from the Lord Jesus.
Take me. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was given to death for the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body of Christ strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith. The life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Upon all of you, and grant you his peace.